WBZ H910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic Media News app.
I'm Andy Field. State of emergency issued on the Hawaiian island of Maui, where at least six people have been killed by wildfires. ABC affiliate KITV meteorologist Malika Dudley says her family had to flee ahead of the flames.
We knocked on our door, woke them up at 4 a.m., and that's where we've been sheltering ever since. Unfortunately, other areas on the island are still right in the thick of it and still dealing with loss of communication. People can't get in touch with their family members.
Tourists in Maui being told to leave and stay away. In southern Florida, a tip on a missing person's cold case led to the findings of 30 cars submerged in a Doral area lake.
It's going to be abandoned vehicles that are associated with some type of a vehicle theft, perhaps some type of a possibly fraud.
A presidential candidate in Ecuador has been shot and killed at a campaign event. President Guillermo Lasso says the murder of Fernando Villavicencio will not go unpunished. This is ABC News. Internet personality Lil Tay has died. She was just 14 years old.
5 years ago, Lil Tay took the internet by storm.
Lil Tay out here on the top of Beverly Hills. I run this beat.
She talked like a gangster rapper.
I'm only 9 years old, but I'm richer than all these broke haters.
Bragged about buying luxury cars, though she was years from driving and always had wads of cash. Then she disappeared online. Her last Instagram post was from 2018, until Wednesday, when her family posted that Lil Tay, real name Claire Hope, had died suddenly and tragically. Also mentioning her brother had recently died, and the circumstances surrounding both deaths are under investigation. Jason Athenson, ABC News.
Federal Aviation Administration letting airlines limit flights in the New York City area through October without penalties. The reason? An ongoing shortage of air traffic controllers. Several organizations working around the clock to remove coral from shallow nurseries off the Florida coast, where water surface temperatures reached a record 101 degrees last month. Andy Field, ABC News.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Alice. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long, close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Professor Schwaber, what grade would you give the Supreme Court for their interpretation of the law?
That doesn't really work. The grade ordinarily would be how accurately and thoughtfully and carefully have you interpreted, you know, existing precedents. I tell you what, though, if I were teaching a course in, let's say, logic, and I was asked to grade this work in terms of its coherence and its rigor, a high D.
Wow.
A high D.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattinaire.
Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make STARS part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Oconomowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raised the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
ScotchAmamas.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cook, Hidney Cuddy.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, it's always great to have, at least the beginning of the show, have an all-Ho-Chunk show here. And we have Arvina Martin, and she's director of Emerge Wisconsin. And we are always happy to have her on and talk about just a conversation about what's going on. We talked a little bit in the beginning of the show about a couple things, but Arvina, as you know, as you've hosted the show before, the guest drives the show, and you are the guest, and we'd love to talk about what you'd like to talk about today. Welcome.
Absolutely. I think, thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here. I love coming on the show and chatting with you guys. I wanted to bring up a really big milestone that was celebrated this week, which was the 88th birthday of the giant in our community, Ada Deer. So she turned 88 on Monday, and I got to participate in a birthday party for her, thrown by her family and her godson, who is also the state chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. It was a really great event. There were a lot of people there to honor her, including the governor and the lieutenant governor and Senator Tammy Baldwin and Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, all there to share in the great event and you know, celebrating her life and 88 years of Ada. It was pretty remarkable.
Yeah. I had the opportunity to meet her, believe it or not, for the first time when I met Obama. So it was like just when Obama came in town to Milwaukee, and we were able to meet him and people think I photoshopped a picture of Obama and I know, but I did get to meet him, and I did get to meet him for 13 seconds. It was awesome.
Oh, absolutely. And Ada has been, especially, yeah, you know, when it comes to Native politics in Wisconsin, you know, she is, I refer to her as our grand dame. She is mm-hmm. the one that kind of paved the way. And I know that the work that I do wouldn't be possible without her blazing the trail that she did and continues to blaze, you know, just by her mere presence You know, she's done so much good in Indian country over her career. She was the first Native person ever selected to lead the BIA. And she was also a huge part of why the Menominee Nation's status as a tribe was reinstated. And I think I might have messed up reinstated, re-recognized, I believe, mm-hmm. is the term that the Menominees use, because re-recognized is a lot more accurate as to the status of the Menominee Nation. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, it was a huge deal for me to get, and, you know, and I used to be, before I was a legislator for Ho-Chunk Nation, I used to be the selfie king, but I did get a selfie with her and I, and both times, because I had the opportunity to MC the Wisconsin Democratic Convention, which just was a blast this past year, and I got to see your work, and she was there and honored, and it was just a great vibe.
Talk about you know, being nervous. I was giving my first presentation that day to members of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin about tribes, and here she comes and sits down, and I told somebody that it was like going in to defend your PhD thesis, and then the most world-renowned scholar on your subject just happens to pop in and wants to listen. So I was trying not to.
She asked a question too, right?
She clarified. It was great to have her. And actually, one of the things that she clarified was using the term re-recognition as opposed to, I can't remember what term I use now, but so reinstatement, I think, is what I said, but re-recognition is what the term that Menominees use. Later that weekend, you know, I saw her and I was talking with her while she was waiting in line for coffee. And here she said, she told me she was proud of me, and I was over the moon. I mean, yeah. Talk about a compliment, yeah. You know? Yeah. But all the work that we do is based on the foundation that she built, you know, mm-hmm. here in Wisconsin and across the country. You know, she was an integral part of that foundation for all of us.
Yeah. I mean, living history. I love history, and to hear these great things about her, especially coming from someone like you, because I consider you a ceiling breaker too, in the, you know, I do. I really do. And we're really blessed to have you on the show and to speak your truth, because, well, just because you're Ho-Chunk and cool. Ho-wah.
Hey, I like that. I was going to say, too, that, you know, now in 2023, we forget that there's still a lot of firsts that need to happen. And, you know, that we still have people that have achieved a lot of these, like, glass ceiling shattering positions, and were the first. You know, even now here in 2023, they're still here, because mm-hmm. it wasn't that long ago that she shattered that particular ceiling. And people don't realize how close that history is to us. And meeting with her is a big reminder of how far we still have to go, as yeah. well as how far we've come.
We're here with Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin. And one of the things I want to just throw out there, too, because of how close we are in history, you know, we weren't able to, as Native Americans across the country, practice our own religion until 1978. And I was a junior in high school then. So, I mean, that's how connected in what you just said about that our history is not that long ago about, you know, getting things done in a good way for us.
Well, if you look at the Indian Arts and Crafts Act, too, that was passed in the 80s. And yeah. If you're not familiar with that, that was the law that made it illegal to claim something that something was Native made unless it was actually made by a Native person. And in the 80s.
Well, Arvina, you know, we have a store, and our store is at the Minnesota State Fair, which is one of the second largest state fair in the country. And Ooh. We fight... I mean, we see a lot of Native-inspired art out there, and that's really, I just tell people, that's Native stolen, and we're fighting appropriation one T-shirt at a time here, because I could tell anyone in our store who made it, who designed it, what their name is, what tribe they are, and they can't do that. So we're still fighting that in a
oh yeah, I've seen stickers that say Native or inspired Natives, not Native inspired. I like those ones.
Oh, I gotta write that down, make a T-shirt. Yeah. Oh, I gotta listen to the show now so I can write that down correctly. Yeah, you know, we got a minute left here, and I think I really feel like that first segment and talking about her is so important. And you know, we have a lot of our elders that we've lost through COVID, and just you know, the creators called them, and so it's really, really important to talk about them while they're still here.
Exactly. And what a gift to be able to express to someone like Ada Deer what she's meant to so many people, and the effect that she's had, and the profound effect she's had. Being able to tell them that face to face is so much more meaningful than sharing it after they're gone.
You got that right. I agree 100%. Hey, we're here with Arvina Martin, director of Emerge Wisconsin, and we got another segment here with her, and it's Ho-Chunk Half Day here at Native Roots Radio. Ho-wah! We'll be right back after this short break.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered Indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Metro Transit is proud to offer the free use of IRA for transit trips, an app that connects blind and low vision customers to a live agent for navigation assistance. IRA can help you determine your location, read schedules, find your next transfer, navigate stations and platforms, and general trip planning, and is now available in Spanish. Learn more and download the app at AIRA.io. That's AIRA.io.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Affordable, healthy, and culturally appropriate food is accessible right in the heart of the American Indian Cultural Corridor at Four Sisters Farmers Market. They embrace inclusivity and accessibility at Four Sisters, accepting SNAP and EBT benefits, market bucks, guest produce market bucks, cash, and cards. So enjoy the abundance of fresh food regardless of your payment method at Four Sisters Farmers Market. Open Thursdays until October from 11 to 3 at 1414 East Franklin Avenue. More at NACD.org and tell them Native Roots Radio sent you.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by St. Paul Public Schools, now giving out signing bonuses. Check them out at spps.org.
Yeah, as a former St. Paul Public School teacher, great place to work, great union, and they have a big bonus going on, I think up to $10,000, so check it out. Great place to work, and come on and work with St. Paul Public Schools, so great read. Hey, I also want to say, Haley, I just listened to that last commercial, and I know people that are going to hear the best of across Turtle Island aren't going to hear that commercial, but nice read, by the way.
Thank you, Dega. I appreciate that. And yes, that was the Four Sisters Farmers Market, which is actually happening tomorrow, Thursday from 11 to 3. And that's on the American Indian Cultural Corridor on Franklin Avenue there.
You know, I'll be there with one of those. I'll sneak a little fry bread pizza, you know, and just have a couple little slices there because I'm trying to keep my weight down. But, oh, it's good. Hey, we're here with Arvina Martin, director of Emerge Wisconsin. And, you know, we talk a lot about what she does here, but it's really interesting. I've seen on Facebook, I wasn't able to watch Reservation Dogs last night, and I've seen on Facebook and shared a post. This looks like a heavy show, Arvina. And you are on mute.
Oh, there we go. Sorry about that. I was going to say it really was a heavy episode, and I caught myself holding my breath. So, you know, watching the whole episode as someone who has my Gaga and all of her siblings were at boarding schools in Wisconsin. And, you know, maybe their experiences weren't kind of direct one-to-one, but, you know, that's the experience so many of our ancestors had. And it's basically, and I won't spoil what happens, but the context is getting to see Dear Lady's background and kind of her story, which involved boarding schools, and there were flashback scenes that were just horrific. And you know, it's surprising to be able to say that you've been shocked by something that's so kind of out of pocket or violent on TV today, because we see so much of it. And this was one of those moments that completely took me aback. And I know I had a physical reaction to watching it, and I, you know, my hands got a little shaky. And like I said, I was holding my breath, but I'm really grateful to the creators and the writers and everybody, the cast and everybody who put this episode together, because it is telling this story of these boarding schools in a way that hasn't been done ever to audiences that have never thought about this. Even if they've heard of boarding schools, mm-hmm. you know, and there are certainly many Americans who still don't know anything about it. And I really think that this episode needs to be kind of a required viewing or a required thing that every American should watch, because, you know, it's important that we grapple with the wrongs that have taken place in the past. You know, we see all these people like in Florida trying to eliminate actual education in their education systems and teach kids that, you know, oh, being a slave benefited Black people. Oh, yeah. What a load of crap. You know?
Skills. Oh, God.
Yeah. So we need to be able to reckon with these atrocities that have happened, you know, in the past to us, against us, you know, by us as Americans. Mm-hmm. It's important to understand, and it's incredible how little people know about the issue. It's starting to get better, but it is incredible how little people know.
Well, Arvina, I don't know if you're old enough. I don't think you are, but I see waves of this over the years. You know, there's a big uptake, you know, Dancing with Kevin Costner. And then there was a lot of Native movies after that, but weren't directed other than smoke signals by, you know, all Native crew like Reservations Dogs is. And, you know, we're blessed to have Dallas Goldtooth on many times. And Bobby Wilson was a former student of mine. And it's just great to see these guys really take off in mainstream. And people ask me, Arvina, was it really that bad? And when we see things like this, and I say, no, it was worse.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think what you're saying about the creators being Native, I think that we are at the beginning of this Native renaissance of Natives in media and our stories being told by us, which is, you know, it's one thing to have your story told, but if it's not the right storyteller, are they actually telling the right parts of the story? Right. And I think that that's part of why these episodes of, especially of Reservation Dogs, can hit so hard, that because it's finally these stories that we've all kind of grown up with or known or experienced, and then to see it reflected in a way that is authentic is a it's a really big deal.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't realize how little, you know, how little represented I felt until I finally saw them in like several episodes of Reservation Dogs that may make me laugh and entertain me, but also just hit me to the core. I mean, I don't get that watching Law and Order or The Simpsons or anything like that.
Well, I made Haley, you want to talk quick about the episode that the name of the episode that I suggested you watched last week when you were feeling down. Do you remember that?
Yes, and now my ADHD brain cannot remember the name of the episode, but I know it was season two. I think it was maybe episode 9.
Was it the Auntie's episode?
No,
when
not
she was in jail.
Oh, no. That episode.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. Reservation Dogs, if you haven't seen it, definitely get out and watch it, because you're going to see and feel and experience, you know, everything that Native families have gone through, especially losing a loved one and losing a sibling or a cousin is really hard.
Well, Willie Jacks went to visit Daniel's mother in prison because Reservation Dogs, the group, wasn't gelling like they had been in the past, and there was some separation, and she wanted to pull them together. And Daniel's mother was in prison, and she had spirits. And I think just the thing that hits with me is that they're your relatives and are behind you, and she felt that, and we feel that a lot too, Arvina.
Can I say that, honest to God, I drew a picture like that. I was, when I first started Emerge, you had to draw like a self-portrait of like things that, you know, are part of you. So I drew myself wearing a, you know, ribbon applique dress with and shirt with Hiwapoch, and instead of moccasins, I put on, I had roller skates on in my picture, but I drew people behind me to express that exact same thing, and to see it on TV, like, I just immediately started crying, and I couldn't believe it. I still have that drawing as well. It's on butcher paper. So yeah, it was incredible. And yeah, I still maintain that Paulina Alexis, who plays Willie Jack, was absolutely robbed of an Emmy nomination for that episode. Her work there was so real. And it's unbelievable that it wasn't recognized. It's simultaneously unbelievable and totally believable that she didn't get nominated. Unfortunately, there's gotta be a word for that kind of, you know, things that are unbelievable, but you're like, yeah, that was actually totally going to happen.
Yeah. Right. And you know, it's interesting too. We had one of the actors on, I can't remember what his name was. He plays the father of, plays a father, Willie Jack, now come to think of it.
Oh, John Proudstar.
Yeah, and he'd been on the show. And, you know, Willie Jack's not a seasoned actor. I mean, the person that plays Willie Jack. And they were worried because I was talking to him about the episode when they went out hunting together.
Oh, and God, how, that too.
Yeah, she was just blew. She could have won an Emmy, as far as I was concerned, with that one. I do believe that was first season, but she was awesome. And he said, yeah, we were worried about her being kind of new and kind of carrying a whole episode, and she was unbelievable. And again, what you're talking about with episode 9 in season 2, I can't think of the name right now, but yeah.
Yeah, I have to say the same thing for Lane Factor, who plays Cheese. I think he was robbed too. His work in Stay Golden, Cheesy Boy, the episode where he had to go to the group home, was again just heartbreaking and just so good. And he's a newcomer too. I don't think he had acted before.
You know, it's funny. Bobby Wilson wrote that, and Bobby Wilson was in that situation when I met him. He was in Enda Young, which is a place for our homeless youth. And so that was really interesting to watch that show and see that Bobby Wilson wrote that. Hey, can you hold on for another maybe half a segment so we can finish it up? Sure. A couple things about Emerge Wisconsin too, because Absolutely. We got carried away about reservation dogs. Oh,
yeah.
Hey, right on. We're with Arvina Martin, and we're going to be talking a little bit about what she does here, but we're really just having fun having conversation. It's all Ho-Chunk show right now. We'll be right back after this short break. This is Native Roots Radio.
Stay with us.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moise. A state of emergency on the Hawaiian island of Maui. Dry conditions and strong winds are fueling deadly wildfires, forcing mass evacuations and burning hundreds of homes and businesses.
The harrowing race to escape the wind-whipped inferno exploding in Maui. Terrified families desperately fleeing the flames and smoke-filled streets. Homes all around burning to the ground. Officials confirming at least 6 people losing their lives.
ABC News transportation correspondent Gio Benitez reporting on Maui. President Biden and the First Lady say they are sending their condolences to families who have lost loved ones. The president adding that he has ordered all available federal assets on the islands to help with the response. Thousands of people are still without power across Hawaii. The Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, has approved Hawaii's request for a disaster declaration to help with the wildfire on Kohala Ranch on the Big Island. Officials say hundreds of homes there have been impacted. This is ABC News.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8.
On your local civic media radio station and on the app.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Because I joined last night and I'm hopeful. Wow. I'm hopeful that it is more fun than Twitter has been lately, because Twitter has not been that fun lately.
I do wish it weren't those two.
I know. It's a weird thing to be cheering for Mark Zuckerberg right now.
I'm choosing between the Joker and the Penguin. This is not a winning solution.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattinair.
Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
When you want something so badly, what you're able to justify and rationalize and get over. So I would say there's not a non-zero chance.
But what record would she run on? Foxconn?
I mean, what did she run on for governor? Probably the same thing.
I just remember her warning about people will be marrying coffee tables once gay marriage is allowed. So I'd like her to run just so I can ask her how many.
Listen to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by NACTI's Four Sisters Farmers Market, open every Thursday from 11 to 3.
I want to just say, Irvina, that always cracks me up. You can hear me laugh in the background, too, when he does that, because that was so, hey, can you do a, hey, this is Dallas Goldtooth or whatever, and you're listening to Native Earth Radio, and he went right into character, and you can hear me in the background go, you know.
I love it. Actually, I have to say that, like, from that, going off of that and our last part of the conversation, I went to go see Barbie this week, the Barbie movie. P.S. I wore a Bethany Yellowtail pink dress and a pair of earrings made by Alicia Hope here in Madison. And so I was Indigenous Barbie, I guess. But the first trailer before the movie started was for Reservation Dogs. And like, I would say 3/4 of the theater started cheering about for the show. And people were yelling, if you haven't watched it, you should watch it. People, okay, I will. That was pretty cool.
That is cool. And that hit me emotionally right there when you said that, because I understand why they're ending it. You know, it's kind of I don't know if you're familiar with Ricky Gervais, but he only always does his shows 3 years and calls it quits and moves on. And, you know, he did The Office and a couple other great shows. I wanted more, but I think that's what you do want. You want more, and you don't want to be sick of a show. And they're hopefully they can expand out. You know, I'm watching Dark Winds too, you know, and that's
Started that one yet, but I have heard, and I'm trying to think of where I saw it. And I can't remember, but I do think that they are working on more shows or more things within the Reservation Dogs universe. So maybe that means we get a show about Bev, or maybe we get a show about Cookie and all of them, you know, before like in the 70s or you know. Or things like that. Bobby, that would be super cool.
And maybe Bobby P can do a walk on, you know, Robert Pilot. I've always hinted to Bobby and to Dallas, because it's funny. Bobby always calls me Choke a Pilot because, if you hear some of the scripts during Reservation Dogs, Ho-Chunk does come up every once in a while. And that's really from those guys
that know us. It's funny because I have friends from all over the country who, when they saw that, they would, you know, see us reference, they would text me and say, hey, you guys got another shout out.
Well, we got Bob Blake in the bullpen here. We're going to bring him on in a second. But Arvina Martin, executive director of Emerge Wisconsin, I just was wondering before we let you go, if you have any quick updates about your organization and any asks out there.
Yeah, so we are working hard on recruiting for our next class. Our next class will start in January of 2024. So if any of you women or non-binary folks who are comfortable in female-centered spaces would like to consider running for office, you should apply. We will be opening up our applications on Labor Day, which I believe is September 3rd. And you can go to our website, which is wi.emergeamerica.org. And you can go there now and look up about our program and find out more about our trainings that we do. We do a 6-month training where we meet once a month as needed, or maybe sometimes more if we need to break up a longer training session into shorter segments. And I'm going to be over at the Stockbridge Many Trails powwow this weekend, tabling with two of our partner organizations, Wisconsin Progress and Run for Something. So if you are over in Stockbridge, you should come by and say hi and tell me that you heard me on Native Roots Radio. See if we've got any listeners in Eastern Wisconsin.
Yes, well, I know we do. As a matter of fact, we are in the Civic Media Network, which is awesome. We're on a 20 stations in Wisconsin. So you are definitely being heard out there. And I just want to say, tomorrow we're going to have Governor Evers on. He's dropping us his weekly update, and we really appreciate the partnership with you, people in Wisconsin, our listeners in Wisconsin. So this is just a Turtle Island kind of show.
Exactly. I love it. I love it. And if anybody out there has any questions, even if you don't live in Wisconsin, if you are thinking about wanting to run for office or anything, if it's just even been a quick spot in your memory, you can email me at arvina@emergewi.org and I can get you hooked up.
Wow. Thank you so much for being on. It's always fun. It really is. And I appreciate you coming on. So have a great day.
Thanks for having me.
We'll hopefully talk to you next week. We'd love to have you on. But we know your schedule's jam-packed. We'll be reaching out.
Okay. Sounds good.
Right on. Thank you so much. Wow. Now we're going to shift gears here. We're going to go with Bob Blake from Red Lake. And we want to talk about the Solar Bear with the Solar News. Thank you so much, Robert, for coming on as always. And I'm kind of upset you don't look like Don Corleone or Captain Kurtz or whatever his name was in Apocalypse Now.
Was that Marlon Brando? Right. Brando? that was the best. Hey, Robert, something, that's going on right now that I think that we should touch on is fires out in Hawaii right now.
Oh my God.
And, they're saying there are six dead. They have people that were jumping in the ocean to escape the fires that are happening in Hawaii right now. And, there's indigenous folks there and it's a really bad situation, but this is just another example, Robert, of, when we talk about, why renewable energy is so important, why climate change is happening a lot faster than, we can get our heads wrapped around. But these are the real world scenarios that are happening out there right now. And we all need to be a part of the solution.
Yeah, absolutely. And a great point. I saw that come up today and popping up on my phone in the news, and it's just heartbreaking. And, one of the things, too, I know they talk a lot about this time of year about shark attacks and, they're very, very, very few, but it's central. The news likes to talk about them. But let me just say this: close to New York City, there was a shark attack yesterday, and it's because they're coming in closer because of the warm water.
Yeah, I've got a really good friend, and her husband is a fisherman, and he's fished up on the East Coast his entire life. Yeah. And he is seeing, animals that normally he would never even see up there in the New England area. And he's just amazed. And so I think it really kind of hits home when you talk to those individuals that, have been doing this their entire life and can really tell you firsthand that this is not normal. And, on that point, Robert, there was a story that came out that talked about the Atlantic Current and that collapsing a lot sooner than we thought it would. This is really serious. And like I said, it's going to take all of us to be involved. The other piece about this, though, is you get climate deniers like, let's just say Governor Ron DeSantis.
Yeah.
Something happened in his state this week that, I don't think he can deny. And that is that the biggest insurer, home insurer in Florida, is leaving the state. And, these individuals now that have home insurance, aren't going to have it now.
Right.
And so, this one lady said that her home insurance policy was $750 when she moved to Florida in 1999. Now it's upwards of close to $14,000.
Whoa. Well, and Bob, there's another thing, too, that I thought you were going to mention, too. It came out in the news. Florida's water, the coastal waters, is over 100 degrees now, and it's killing all the the coral and around close to the beach. It's killing it. It's frying it.
Yeah, and so that's so this is the 1.5 degrees Celsius over pre-industrial times kind of lever our point here, where scientists are saying that we should not cross over, because once we cross over that, it's going to cause all these ripple effects around the planet.
Yeah.
And we're going to see all these different things happening, and which is why, you know, we need to switch to renewables as fast as we can. And we need climate champions. Your guest that was right before me sounded like she did something around, you know, politics, maybe training individuals to run for public office.
Yeah.
We need climate champions in public mm-hmm. office. Like, we need individuals that understand what the invisible social contract is, that little invisible social contract that we all sign as citizens of the world, how mm-hmm. we should interact and, you know, be with one another. And that involves, you know, protecting the environment and taking care of one another.
Yeah. Robert, one last thing too, Alaska, the glaciers melted up there so much that the river is tearing houses off the beach. I saw footage yesterday amongst, I also got stuck watching the footage of that, those white guys trying to beat up that black guy at the ship. And then the folding chair has been very famous here on public, all over Instagram and everything. But yeah, what? Alaska.
Yeah. But you know, Robert, it's connected, right?
Yeah.
You know, because when the planet is off, we're off, and mm-hmm. we start treating it as we destroy our planet, we're destroying ourselves. So that's why I say healing is in the environment. When we start healing the environment, we start healing the relationship with each other and with ourselves.
Right on. Hey, Robert, you got time for another segment? We probably want to get an update from the Solar Bear with the Solar News on some positive stuff and some stuff that we can do. You know, it is doom and gloom, and we want to speak the truth, but there's also solutions out there that can really help. And I know you're in the forefront of that, Robert. So we're going to talk a little bit more with Robert Blake, the Solar Bear with the Solar News. We'll be right back after this short break. This is Native Roots Radio.
Metro Transit is proud to offer the free use of IRA for transit trips, an app that connects blind and low vision customers to a live agent for navigation assistance. IRA can help you determine your location, read schedules, find your next transfer, navigate stations and platforms, and general trip planning, and is now available in Spanish. Learn more and download the app at AIRA.io. That's AIRA.io.
Attention art enthusiasts, experience Laura Youngbird's indie Wisigindum, My Heart Hurts, a solo exhibition by Laura Youngbird presented by All My Relations Arts this summer. All My Relations Arts aims to foster connections between contemporary American Indian artists, preceding generations, diverse audiences, and the vitality of the American Indian cultural corridor. Laura Youngbird is a talented artist from the Minnesota Chippewa Grand Portage Band that uses the dress as a metaphor to address social issues, injustices, and biases. Through mixed media combining drawing, painting, and prints, Laura explores the dress as a powerful symbol in her work, revealing layers of meaning. Her series examines mixed emotions and themes like common threads, loose ends, and vulnerability. And you can see Laura Youngbird's Inde Wisigindum, My Heart Hurts, all summer through September 9th at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis. Plan your visit and let the moving art speak to your heart. More information at allmyrelationsarts.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org.
Let's live and let howl.
Howl!
I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Oh, caught me. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're here with Robert Blake, the Solar Bear, with the Solar News. And love to hear those updates, too, Bob, that you are really connected around Turtle Island. I'm wondering, you know, people really don't realize, you know, the powerhouse guests we have here on Native Roots Radio. And I know we joke around a lot, but you're a serious cat all around the country. People ask your advice about you know, solar energy and things like that. And you speak all over Turtle Island and in the world about what's happening with solar. And so we're really blessed to have you on here, Robert.
Yeah, no, thank you, Robert. Great. Yeah, I don't know how all that happened, but honestly. I don't know how they I'm getting flat out to Washington, D.C. and Las Vegas next month to go speak at events. I really don't know how that really happened. But Robert, there is a great story here, and I want to talk about it because I think it's really good, and it's happening here in Minnesota. And Minnesota plans to use $3 million from the IRA to expand its outreach on its climate action plan into other smaller communities around the state. And I think this is a really good blueprint for other states to look at, because what this is going to do is it's going to offer assistance and technical assistance to, you know, communities that, you know, because some governments, some smaller communities don't have the capacity to, you know, bring in a solar expert, to bring in, you know, someone that understands energy efficiency and what have you. So what this money is going to do is it's going to pay for this, for these individuals to help these smaller communities around the state of Minnesota to prepare for climate change and build out a plan so that, you know, they can, you know, methodically start, you know, preparing their communities and their citizens for climate change. So I think this is a great story.
Yeah, that is a great story. You know, one of the things too, Robert, I know we talked a long time ago, and it was even before you ran for city council, we talked about, or maybe it was during when you were running, we talked about schools and energy on the roofs. And I was at a Democratic kind of talk speak for my area here in St. Paul, and they were talking about that, and that they're putting money where their mouth is.
Yeah, no, I love seeing this. You know, way back then I was trying to do this in a school district, and the school board voted against it. And you know, I think that they probably saw the error. They saw the error in their ways, you know, later on, but. You know, it's hard sometimes to get past, you know, those individuals that don't understand, you know, the big picture. You know what I mean? I did say about that school board. Boy, I would really like to, you know, I hope all of you at least have a college degree. You're going to be sitting on the school board because you're making decisions for these children.
Right.
But you know that has been a big thing. And what's happening, Robert, is part of the plan here in the state, at least in the state of Minnesota, is that they plan on putting renewable energy, solar specifically, on a lot of public buildings.
Yes.
And so that's what's going to be happening here. And so I think I also see this happening in Chicago. I follow Illinois a lot. And and they're too doing a lot of really cool, innovative actions. Ohio, surprisingly, Robert, is another state that is really on the forefront, because they know that cheap energy can run an economy. You know, this is the one thing that the Chinese understand. If you have cheap energy, you can run the world's economy on cheap energy. So, you know, that's why we in this country, if we want to continue to be a leader in the world and be at the forefront of democracy, we really need to, you know, invest and go all in on renewable energy and cheap energy. And incidentally, Robert, I got a really good story here out of New York. And I know you go out to New York a lot.
yeah.
You and Wendy, and you guys got a place out there, I think. And yeah. Well, get this. One of the fossil, this is the first fossil fuel plant out in New York, Robert. Wow. They did coal for years. The workers, guess what they're doing? They're transitioning all those workers to become work in wind. Isn't that incredible? They're transitioning all their fossil fuel workers to go work at the first fossil fuel plant to do that in the country. And I believe probably Xcel Energy Sherco plant is going to be the second to do that as we transition everybody out of that nuclear power plant into renewables. But ain't that something? They're the first power plant, the one in New York, and then probably the one in Minnesota is going to be the second.
Well, let's hope so. And people are waking up to it, and this weather is not right. And as we talked about in the last segment, but there is, like you say, there's solutions out there, and people have to think outside the box, because I think we have too many people that are thinking about this issue that are too short-sighted, and we need to think outside the box like you do. And it sounds like New York there too.
Yeah. And you know, if people are wondering, like, you know, what's it going to look like as these hailstorms get a lot more intense and are they going to damage the solar, you know, the solar fields and whatnot, you know, let's remember everyone that these solar panels are graded to handle hurricane force winds. They are making the glass over the solar panels thicker so that they can handle the hail that's going to be coming down on it. So, you know, those kinds of things are already being done and already being looked into and making an adjustment. So, you know, the renewable energy industry is resilient. It is the fastest growing profession in the United States right now. And every day it's employing more and more people that want to be a part of this transition and the solution, because we all have to live here, Robert.
Yeah, we want to talk about, as we did before with Bernie and all that, the Green Revolution. And I don't know how the Republicans turn that into a bad word, but that's a good word, and that's a good thing to think about the next seven generations.
Well, yeah. I mean, Bernie, I mean, you know, I mean, that he's incredible. And, you know, he's been a champion of renewable energy because he understands what it can do. And one of the things that I've always liked about what Bernie's out, and I want to say Elizabeth Ward, is the manufacturing piece and bringing manufacturing back into this country. You know, we've got some really good leaders here in the state of Minnesota that are really pushing for manufacturing here in the state of Minnesota around renewable energy. Hailene Solar Factory in northern Minnesota, Robert, looks like it's going to expand and come down here to the Twin Cities now. So that's more production. That's more solar panels. And those are the kinds of jobs that we want to create. And those are the kinds of supply chain issues that we want to be able to solve so we can have a future that's full of renewable energy.
Yeah, I just want to kind of leave with, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, expenses and how much things cost. And I'm really excited around the corner. We're going to have some liquid hydrogen batteries to do storage for big storage and little storage and really be more clean about that. So things are changing in a good way and a positive way. And we're just moving forward. Thank you so much, Robert, for being on Native Roots Radio.
Big Wedge, Robert. That's the Solar News with the Solar Bear.
Ho! Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long, close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
ABC.